Welcome back to BSA by Design, a podcast about transforming healthcare, educational, and research facilities through expert design and insight. I'm your host once again, Brian Moore, and thanks for joining us. In this episode, I'm joined by Mark Searles, Emmy Tyson, Josh Fell, and Sarah Burnett to discuss the newly opened Wake Tech Education and Innovation Center. The project is located at the new 106-acre academic campus and provides core general classroom and student services. The building also serves as the gateway to the campus. It was designed to create an inclusive platform that caters to all types of students and learning styles. The Wake Tech Education and Innovation Center contains amenities that encourage students to remain on campus, creating a vibrant sense of community and a strong venue for intentional student engagement, a sense of place, and a feeling of identity and pride. A monumental stair and multi-story green wall in the main lobby uses evidence-based biophilic design strategies to improve the cognitive and emotional health of its occupants and serves as one more means of creating an environment where students will linger and connect. The welcoming monumental stair, in conjunction with the transparent stair towers that flank the campus green, encourages stair use over the elevators, promoting the physical well-being of students and faculty. Understanding that students benefit greatly from spending more time on campus, emphasis was placed on daylighting in the collaborative and social spaces and the circulation zones. Sustainability strategies such as solar panels, sun shading devices, energy-efficient building systems, and a high-performance envelope are an integral part of the design of the building and contribute to the campus's sustainability goals and the project-specific goal of achieving Green Globe certification. Occupied green roofs provide a means to support goals around rainwater harvesting and stormwater strategies, while preference for local materials to both reduce the overall embodied carbon and support local industries. For approximately 60 years, Wake Tech Community College has served Wake County in North Carolina as a trusted partner in the community, providing access to high-quality education and training opportunities. The Wake Tech Education Innovation Center continues this long-held tradition and advances Wake Tech Community College's mission to be a good steward to its place, neighbors, and future generations by providing important connections to programs, new technologies, and workforce training while remaining financially viable with a commitment to affordability. So, this is the perfect project to talk about in further detail as it includes many of BSA's core disciplines: architecture, interior design, planning, and sustainability. Before we get to our conversation, let me introduce our guests. Mark Searles is a principal with BSA and an AIA and NCARB certified architect. A graduate of the University of Illinois Chicago, Mark has both his bachelor and master's of architecture from the school. He has been with BSA since 2021 and is with our Raleigh studio. Emmy Tyson is a principal with BSA as well and is also located in our Raleigh studio. Emmy graduated from North Carolina State University with a Bachelor of Architecture and a Bachelor of Environmental Design in Architecture. She is AIA certified and a member of the AIA Board of Directors for the AIA Triangle Chapter. Emmy has been with BSA since 2016, and you previously heard her on episode 16 in regard to student life. Josh Fell is the Director of Design at BSA and graduated from the University of Utah with a BS in Architectural Studies and a Master's of Architecture. Prior to BSA, he worked as the Higher Education Practice Leader for Perkins & Will, and he joined BSA in 2018 as a Regional Director, then became Director of Learning and Student Life Practice Leader. Since 2020, he has been BSA's Director of Design, and he was also on Episode 16 discussing student life, if you'd like to check that out. Lastly, we were joined by our project manager on the client side, Wake Tech's Sarah Burnett. Sarah graduated from East Carolina University with a Bachelor of Interior Design and is well AP certified. She has been with Wake Tech Community College since May of 2020. So, I wanted to bounce around the room on a few topics to get some additional insight from those deeply involved in the project. There's also a link in the show notes of this episode to the project page on our website for more information and some truly incredible photos. And now, on to our discussion. Mark, let's start here. How about the project scope, the size, what the intent of the project was, kind of a high level?
Yeah, so this project incredibly important because it really holds for their new East campus the general classes that they will need for their campus to be viable. And so it was really important for us to capture a lot of the different programs in this one building. So it has probably 15 different programs in it. And so what's interesting is that instead of having it divided up into little pieces, we were able to really focus on a lot of the public spaces and the spaces that were for the whole campus to utilize. Like, for example, there's a great library. There's a little cafe space in there. There's gaming areas. And then on the upper floor, there's laboratories. And so, and big wow. classroom spaces. So as you can tell, it really has a lot of different programs in it, but a lot of different uses. So one of our biggest kind of missions for this project was really, interestingly, focused around sustainability. And we've recently just got confirmation that it has 3 green globes, which for those who are not necessarily familiar with green globes, it's like a LEED Gold equivalent. Right. And that's huge for the project and for Wake Tech as well. And one of the things we tried to do with that was to put that on display. And what I mean by that is the PV panels, for example, that we have, you can see from the ground floor, they provide some layering to the building from the exterior. We do have water capture in terms of a garden space. We capture some of the water there. And lots of different attention towards the materials that were used for the project, both interior and exterior.
And then what about how this will affect the community at large there?
For the community at large, what's great is that this area of North Carolina has been pretty underserved on the education side. And so this really helps bring the community kind of up to speed. And when we were there at the opening, it was so inspiring to see all the different from the mayor of the local community to people that were in a fire department to the police service to all the different areas of the community that will be served by this building. And there's just so much joy.
That's cool.
at the building opening. So it was fun to see.
Josh, let's pivot to you for a little bit here. This is a very distinct building. And what were you guys trying to accomplish with the exterior design?
The project was kind of the first step in a larger master plan for a new campus. You know, they had a couple of buildings that were started, but they're a little more on the periphery and they're more about supporting the campus. So, you know, there was a pretty, what I'd call, firm direction in terms of, you know, what the open space shape was to be and where the building was going to be sited and, you know, what amount of real estate we had to work with. So, you know, there's sort of the planning of fitting it all in there and then sort of shaping it to the site in a way that relates to other things. So really, we were just trying to set the stage for this building and then the next few to come so that they all had a strong connection to the central open space, the thing they call the helix. It, you know, if you were a million miles in the air and looking down, it would be kind of the shape of an eyeball. So once we sort of had a relationship to the outdoor space, then it was kind of, you know, how do we treat the surfaces that front that community space internal to the campus? And then, you know, what do we do on the other side that's really more about kind of student parking and things that are necessary, but not necessarily always like the most friendly people spaces. Although we did some things to try and make that as pleasant as we could too.
Are there some special features that you can highlight and share, Josh?
You know, it's funny. Wake Tech has such a strong mindset about the transparency of their buildings and the welcoming quality. So, you know, we always take advantage of that, trying to get as much transparency along the base of the building as we can so that students feel encouraged to filter in and out. We sort of extended that up into the vertical circulation of the stairs. Stairs are often sort of put in a building and they, you know, they're a bit utilitarian in their drivers, you know, that's in case of a fire, go down the stairs, don't use the elevator, that kind of stuff. Right. But we thought, you know, there's an opportunity to make them a useful everyday thing. You know, I've got to go up a floor. I can just pop in the stair. It's a pleasant place to be in. It's not this dark shaft with, you know, no daylight. So, you know, we really worked hard to sort of open those up. And then because of the solar orientation, we had to kind of do some things to try and shade that glass so that they weren't uncomfortable spaces to be in as well. So there's a pretty strong expression there. And then, of course, you know, the student space that's, you know, about mixing and mingling on the upper floors follows the curve of that helix. And so that's a pretty direct relationship. And it was intentional to do so. And you know, then from there, there was kind of this great little opportunity to create this outdoor vegetated roof, you know, with some places to sit, sort of hang. And, you know, the weather's pretty nice in North Carolina for a good chunk of the school year. So, you know, I think that's probably where I would hang if I were a student, you know, in the middle of November when the weather's pretty good. Maybe not July, but that's okay. You know, we take advantage of what we have.
that's an excellent point, Josh. Let me finish with you on this, because I know this is something that's near and dear to your heart. Can you tell us about some of the sustainability features of the project?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's funny that the whole campus kind of has, they put themselves in a good place, you know, so they started with a really high efficiency central plant. So they've got a geothermal system, which really does a lot to drive down the energy use intensity for cooling cycles and some heating in the winter as well. So everything on the campus will benefit from that. But from there, you know, we also looked at things that were somewhat on display because this campus focuses on, you know, emerging technologies. The solar panels were part of the story to be seen and told. So, you know, you'll see a pretty direct display of those solar panels, you know, that we put them up on a superstructure so that students could sort of observe how everything works together. Makes them a little easier to maintain. It makes life a little bit easier, you know, if you've got to do something to your roofing. You know, it costs money for sure, but it's an investment that I think had value for the client. So they were really interested in that. And I think it was, you know, one of the things that helped organize the massing of the building from one end to the other. In addition to that, you know, we tried to look for as many regional materials as we could. It's a Green Globe certified, you know, the distance to where materials are manufactured is not like a high priority for Green Globes, but it is in LEED and it's a good practice. So, you know, we looked for those opportunities. Obviously trying to find the right healthy materials to put on the interior. So, you know, low VOC paints, all the obvious things like that. But also I think, you know, as part of that sustainability story is things that we tend to think of. There was kind of a wellness component. So, you know, there's an open stair that really encourages students to move vertically. We sort of put the elevators conveniently located by the lobby, but not necessarily the most prominent thing. So, you know, there's things like that. And then just, you know, the access to daylight, you know, that you get around all sides of some of the inboard classrooms and some of the outboard classrooms. So there's a lot of little moments that I think were kind of fun. And, you know, it was a really pleasant process to go through because the client was so forward thinking about a lot of things. You know, they really did not react out of fear to things. They really looked at the value in certain systems and said, that's for us and let's commit to it. So it was great.
Okay. I want to pivot and bring Emmy into this conversation. And I think, Emmy, you and I were talking previously about the solar panels offline, of course, but I saw your eyes perk up when Josh was talking about it. Do you have something that you'd like to share as well about the solar panels?
The 468 solar panels on the building really became a design feature, and they allowed us to put sustainability on display. So Wake Tech set a precedent for each of the buildings on the campus to have PV, but we really wanted to push the envelope and make it part of the story of the project instead of hiding them on the roof like what's typically done. So with the help of our structural engineers, we actually created and designed a steel superstructure that hovers above the roof, and the solar panels sit on that steel superstructure. So it creates a canopy above the roof, which does a couple things. It puts them on display so you see them from the ground. They can use them as a teaching tool, and it celebrates the sustainability that Wake Tech's committed to, but it also shades the roof and allows for easy access to the roof membrane below. So it makes the facilities people happy as well.
That's pretty fascinating. I'd like to pivot a little bit and ask you something similar that I talked to Mark about, which is, how was the project designed to meet the client's needs and also the needs of the community?
The biggest need of the community is access to higher education. So this campus fills that need for Eastern Wake County. But our project in particular will be the hub of student activity. We're bringing together spaces like the library and the student commons and student services, food services. So our project's unique in that it becomes the hub of student activity and allows for the campus to be accredited. And I would say one of the challenges but successes of the project was our ability to bring together all of these different programs and space types under one roof. So to do that, we met with a ton of different groups of stakeholders really often to listen to their needs and to balance it with the overall project drivers. Some of the initial goals for the project was welcoming and access and equity. So we designed a transparent base. So the entire base of the building is transparent. There are many different entrances around all the sides of the building. So it really welcomes students equally who are coming from parking area or who might bike or use public transportation. So that was important to them. And then the long side of the building faces the public green space. So that creates a connection to the community, and the covered area that's created by the canopy creates community amenity space that Wendell really doesn't have much of. So I'd add that one of the other drivers was high performing. So the solar panels we already talked about was part of that goal, but materials with small carbon footprints, healthy materials and good indoor air quality reduce the building's impact on the world, but also create a high performing environment for learning and for their students as well.
I'm always fascinated by the use of evidence-based biophilic design ever since I learned about the term and since I came to BSA. How did the Education and Innovation Center use evidence-based biophilic design, Emmy?
Yeah, so early on, the design team presented some evidence that suggested that humans seek connections between nature and life. And there is evidence that introducing biophilia into a building can improve satisfaction, it can improve test scores, it can reduce stress and help with attention. So we introduced it in a few ways. So we got their buy-in by presenting that information. And so we were able to introduce biophilia through the warmth of wood, have wood feature walls and wood ceilings, as well as some wood features on the exterior to tie it all together and really fit into the rural context that the building is located. And then we put the central open stair on display, and it has a backdrop of a preserved green moss wall. We call it the dead living wall. So the moss wall brings that green, plant aesthetic into the building, but also meets Wake Tech's needs for low maintenance in a key location.
So last but certainly not least, our client, our project manager on the client side, Sarah Burnett, thank you so much for joining us. And after hearing all this, I'm curious, from your standpoint, what was the impact of this project on the community and how did it tie into Wake Tech's mission?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I think the East Campus in general was a great way to bring new opportunities for residents of this growing part of our county. We have campuses all over Wake County. We have north, south, west, and now we have east. So it was really kind of filling a void in the community. And so we're hoping to reach the students wherever they are, because definitely the students that we try to reach and rally behind, reach and rally is kind of our theme at Wake Tech. This really helps, find them where they're at so that they have the opportunities that they deserve. But specifically for the Education and Innovation Center, gave us our campus status. So because of all of the functions that are in that building, the academic programs, admissions, resources, and student activities, that created the campus status. And the facility will be home for the Associates in Arts, Associates in Science, and Associate in Engineering degrees for university transfer. And it has smart classrooms, science labs, auditorium, library, tutoring space, and study space. And it included all of those kind of support services that are needed for the campus. Another really high point, I think, that the Education and Innovation Center gives is that it's a high-performing building. Sustainability was definitely at the forefront of all of our discussions. We have so many different sustainable features. We've got PVs on display. There's like a substructure that really just calls out what we're trying to do and, kind of highlighting that. There's lots of daylight and connections to nature with our expansive two-story student commons. It's a sweet space. It's really cool. And it really, it helps, I think, with the spectacular monumental stair that we have with the green, to be living green wall that's low maintenance, but brings in the biophilia to make people want to walk up and down the staircase and instead of using the elevator. And then just all of our reductions in water use, 26% water use reduction, 46% annual energy savings. It really offsets the cost from the college. And then our heating and hot water is provided by the Central Energy Plant, which we have 300 geothermal wells. So that was great. EV charging stations, native and adaptive plants, rainwater harvesting for our green roof. You know, these are just some of the features that we had, but I think that was a big component to the success of this project.
So kind of my final question for you then is, from your standpoint, what did BSA do that stood out to you in the design and planning process that solved any key challenges that you were facing?
Yeah, so I have two specifically that I think were great. BSA helped Wake Tech to create project drivers during advanced planning, which helped us to focus all of our design decisions on the goals that we were trying to achieve. And really all they did was ask questions on what we wanted. And then they just put it together in a formula that made sense. And then these drivers were reviewed at every project meeting to keep the project on track, to make sure we were making decisions based on those drivers. And at the end of the project, we met each one of those drivers. And I think that made for a successful project. Another one I think is really important is that this project went to bid at one of the most volatile times in the market. It was crazy. It was the post-COVID boom, or whatever you want to call it. There was many bid packages that we, as a public entity, if we don't have three bids, we can't open. And so there was some that we would have no bids and we'd have to delay the bid. And then you would get one bid. And anyway, so that really drove up the price. And so we were way over our original estimate. But it was a great effort between BSA and our CM at Risk, Monteith, to really look at some value engineering solutions that still kept the design intent for the project, but we could save some money. So it was a really good effort, I think. And when you look at the building, you're like, there's no value engineering in this building. It looks great. You know, so we still got to keep all the bells and whistles and just have a little less bells and whistles than we originally planned. So that, I think those two things were very key challenges that kept us going.
Thanks again to Sarah, Emmy, Josh, and Mark for joining me on this episode of BSA by Design and taking a deeper look at the Wake Tech Education and Innovation Center. You can connect with them on LinkedIn, and their profiles are linked in the show notes. If you're interested in learning more about BSA Life Structures, our design culture, and the Wake Tech Education and Innovation Center, we encourage you to visit our website at bsalifestructures.com. Again, there's a link in the show notes directly to the project page on our website. Be sure to subscribe to BSA by Design on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube Music so you don't miss an episode. And we've got more content and project stories to share on social media. So be sure to follow us on LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and X. That's going to do it for this episode. Join us again next time on BSA by Design.